The first reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though, as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. We are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to you.
The gospel is from Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. He said to them, "How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Well, you see, technology doesn't always do what you ask it to do, but then there's many things that don't do what you ask them to do in this world, aren't there? And one thing about these things is we need to make sure that we're masters of them rather than them being our masters, don't we? So if they don't work, you just do something else rather than getting upset about it. This works. You can hear me. We're good. And I don't have to yell, which is useful. So project, I should say, rather than yell. Project. Oh, my goodness, that takes me back. Let's not go there. All those years, Ridley Chapel and no microphone, and it was you get in the pulpit, and they would say project. Everybody needs to hear you properly, and yes. Anyway, some of us did well, but some of us didn't. I've never been quiet, so it works. Anyway. What is love? What is love really? The world thinks love is a feeling. Talk about love, you know, that Hollywood love. But love is, well, we feel love, but it's not a feeling. Love is an action. Love is about true love. The love of God is about action, is how God works in the world. Love moves and does. One can sit quietly and love from afar, but the other doesn't know they're loved until one acts. So in many ways, love is more a verb than a noun. It's more a doing word than a feeling. I can have the warm fuzzies. You know the warm fuzzies. Everybody likes warm fuzzies. But the warm fuzzies don't necessarily do anything. They're just about me feeling good. I feel good. You got to do that, don't you? Sorry. Yeah, the 8:45, I'm much more conservative. But you see, by the time it gets to 10:30, I'm actually awake. If we want to know what love truly is, we look to the one who loved us. We look to the one who is love. God is love, right? So if I look to God and I say, how do I know that God loves me? What does that love look like? It looks like this, doesn't it? And it has a crown of thorns and it has nails. Because love is sacrifice. True love sacrifices for the other. True love does not sit there holding on to what it has when the person next to them has nothing. True love will give the self for the one loved, just as the Father gave his Son for us, that we might know his love, come to believe in him, and he could have us with him for eternity, which is what love wants, isn't it? If you really love someone, you want them there, don't you? And in life, people come and go. But God is constant, and his love is constant. So the first commandment that Jesus mentions in our readings today is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. So if I love God with my heart, I love him with the place of my will, the place where I feel and decide that I will do things. Because although our brain thinks it, my will, the place of my will is where I act on it, really, usually, because I can think it all I like, but sometimes I won't do anything unless my heart's in it. So I love him with my heart and I give him my whole heart. And then I love him with my soul, and my soul is about who I am, my whole body, my whole being, every part of me. And I love him with my mind because my mind is a place of thought and I need my thoughts to be about him and what he would want. So when I think about God and I think about loving God with my mind, I take those thoughts captive, as Paul says. So when my thoughts are not thinking in loving ways about the Lord, then I go and I grab them and I say, you come into line with what Jesus wants me to do. To love him with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind is no less than the way that he loves me. Because not only did he give Jesus to die for me, but he also raised Jesus to life for me that I might have life in him. And the two go together. We can't have the cross without the resurrection. The cross without the resurrection makes no difference in a sense, because that's what other people did. The gods die. Jesus doesn't die and stay dead. Yay. But then it says the second one is to love others as you love yourself. That one's a little harder, because loving me can be a little bit difficult. just speaking for myself, but also because loving me is what the world does, isn't it? What does the world tell us? Love yourself. Do you know the Justin Bieber song? You just go and love yourself. It's actually talking about someone who is so full of themselves that they don't actually do anything but look after themselves. So people think about loving yourself as fairly selfish. But loving yourself is recognizing that you are made in the image of God. You're a child of God. You are a person, and we, each one of us here, is not only made in the image of God, but we've been adopted into his family through faith in Jesus, and we are sons and daughters of God because we're adopted there, and we are seated in the heavenly places. That's how I know myself. That's who I am. That's my identity. I don't have identity in here, in this world. My identity is in him. I can't take my identity from this world because everything in this world passes away, goes. We lose it. We have trouble finding things sometimes, but also things happen. And life is fleeting, and the difference between now and eternity is one heartbeat. So loving myself the way that God wants me to love myself is about appreciating who I am in Christ and who I am as a child of God. And if I don't know Jesus, it's about understanding I'm made in his image at least. But to love myself and then to love others the way that I love me means that I have to love them the way that Jesus loves me, because that's where I got my identity from. And how does he love me? Love brings sacrifice. Love gives from oneself to the other. Years ago, I went to visit a mother. She had three kids, and I went to visit her. She's an old friend of mine, and I went to visit her, and interstate, staying with her for a few days. And she would make sandwiches for the kids and cut off the crusts. And I thought she was cutting off the crusts because the kids didn't like crusts. She was cutting off the crusts because that's what she was eating. She was giving the children the sandwiches. I looked in her fridge. There was nothing there except for the things for the children. She didn't have the money for herself. She fed herself whatever was left over from what they wouldn't eat. Needless to say, I filled her pantry. But the fact is, that is love in sacrifice. And that's how God wants us to love our neighbor. So love is action and love is attitude. Love requires sacrifice. So the way that the world works and the loving of self in this world is very, very much about what I want. And as Helen said at the Evensong, if you were there the other last Sunday, she talked very much about the fact that we've lost the difference between want and need. Everybody knows what they want and they think that that's what they need. But in fact, God teaches us that what is most precious in the entire world is not what we have, but what we can give away, ourselves and the things that we have. And he asks us to put him first. And when we actually live in that place where I give him my whole self, then I keep him in the rightful place in my life. And if I don't live according to that, then other things will take over. And we don't always know they're taking over. We don't always know that things are more about me than they are about God, until one day the things are more important than God is. And that happens in different ways, but often it's a challenge. So perhaps if you can apply the test, it's often where the money goes. So we can apply the test and we can say, okay, so I have a house and a car and a boat and all of those good things. There's nothing wrong with that. I might have a house, a car, a boat, another house that I'm renting out to somebody, and a whole lot of other things. And that's okay. You can have those things. God doesn't say you can't have them at all. But if the Lord were to say to you, I want you to sell that car because this cause over here needs that money, will you sell the car? You did once, didn't you? So, but this is the thing. We have to know what it is. You're still grieving. Exactly. So this is the thing. If that is more important, and God says, I want this from you, might hurt because sacrifice does. If the Lord asks it of us, and we have to think about it for a while, who's on the throne? Paul talks about loving the Thessalonians as a father loves his children, with motherly love, with fatherly love, with that love which will give everything for the child. And there are very few parents that I've met, even the ones who are not necessarily the greatest parent, who don't love their children enough to want to sacrifice for them when the kids need something. And that's our Father for us, but it's also what he asks us to be for him. That when he says, this one of my children needs something, we are ready to sacrifice for that child of his. And the greatest way that we can love that child first is to help them to know they're a child. A lot of people don't understand how loved they are. Do you understand how loved you are? Do you know you're precious? Do you know you're so precious that the blood of Jesus was shed for you and would have been shed for you if you were the only person who needed it because your Father loves you? Do we know this? Do we take it on? Do we recognize it? Because that's where we love ourselves. That's where we can love ourselves properly, in that perspective. Loving myself is not about gifting myself things, although it's nice to do nice things for us. Sometimes we do have to look after ourselves. Self-neglect is not something that's sitting there in the Bible telling us we should do. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, Christian is not spelt D-O-O-R-M-A-T. But self-sacrifice is part of the deal sometimes. And the biggest sacrifice we sometimes need to make is the one that says that I will actually tell someone about Jesus and risk what they might say back at me. Because it's hard. In this day and age, it's hard. It's scary. But you know what? Not only are we protected, but most of those people want to hear it. Because although the world keeps telling us we have to love ourselves and everything's about us, all of those things, actually what it has produced is a whole lot of people who are empty because we can't fill ourselves. I can do all the stuff for me and I will still be empty. There's a whole lot of hungry people out there. They don't say it. But there's been a renewal in the hunger in the young ones, especially looking for truth. Because truth got thrown out the window with all of the stuff that happened in the 90s and other times when everything became relative. And there was no certainty in that, and I'm convinced that's one of the reasons why anxiety is such a disease these days. Because there was no certainty in the world anymore. Because it was all relative, so your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. And the problem with that is you've got nowhere to stand. So actually, every person I've spoken to about Jesus, and I had a lovely chat with a lady in a queue on Tuesday when I went into town to get, I went to a book signing with Trini Woodall. You know Trini Woodall? Trini. I went, some people know Trini in this congregation. The 845 people didn't know Trini. Trini's a fashion guru, right? And I ain't no fashion person, right? I don't do the fashion thing. I wear what I like. I don't wear what other people tell me to wear. And I don't follow the trends unless I like the trend. and then I'll wear it. But I don't do that, and I'm not a makeup wearer. And Trini has a full makeup line. She's got her own company called Trini London. And when I wear makeup, I do it because I have to, and then I sit there going, I'm going to get this off my face for the entire time that I've got it on. So I'm just not one of those people, but Trini's somebody that I came across during the pandemic, and she's just such a happy and joyful person, but she's also a really giving and loving person. And I know nothing about fashion or things, so it was totally out of my comfort zone. So it was really good for getting me out of the holes that the pandemic dug around me, as I'm sure it dug around you in different ways. And anyway, I went in to see Trini to get, well, I just wanted to meet Trini, but you had to buy the book and get it signed, so that's what I did. And the book is called Fear Less. And she's all on about mental health and everything, but she doesn't know Jesus. She needs to know Jesus. So I'm like, one of the things I'm doing as I'm standing in this queue is I'm praying for you, Trini. And then the ladies who were with me actually told her that I was the vicar of Dibley, God help me. Anyway, it's hilarious. Anyway, she looked at her, they said, you need to get her to bless you. She's the vicar of Dibley. And I'm like, oh. So I looked at Trini, I said, actually, I'm the vicar of Dramana. But anyway, didn't wear the collar or anything, but, you know, you can't get away with anything these days. But the ladies I was in the queue with, the two ladies that I was standing with were both lovely ladies in beautiful linen suits, who I know those suits are not cheap, and they're both beautifully coiffed and beautifully made up and absolutely gorgeous, and they speak very nicely. And and they were sort of the typical person that I would expect, and I'm not drunk. So beautiful people, beautiful ladies, both of them. And we had this whole conversation in this queue for an hour and a half waiting for Trini. As we went through the queue, we had this lovely conversation. One of them's building a house in Macrae, so I'm like, come to church. But they were both having issues with their marriages, and we had this long conversation. And they both wanted to know about Jesus, because both those women were actually full of all of the fashion and all those good things, but they were empty. So that's the world we're living in. Love is what they're looking for, but it's actually the love of God that we need more than anything else. And we can love our neighbour best by helping them to know him. That's our calling as a church. Always the church exists that the world may know Jesus. Come to faith in him and grow up in him, not just bring them to faith but disciple them as well. We missed that bit for a few centuries, but anyway, it's the truth, isn't it? But I can't give what I don't have, and that's why the second commandment is so important. To love my neighbour as I love myself is to know the love of Christ for me and to be able to love that neighbour in that love. I don't have any business not loving me. If God loves me, I don't have any business not loving me. Just got to get the right way around. So maybe if a lovely coiffed lady in her linen suit walks in one Sunday morning looking very lost, you may find it's my friend is building a house in Macrae. Nothing against. I grew up in Mount Eliza. I went to school with these people, so I absolutely loved it. And I used to feel very out of place at all their parties where they talked about fashion and clothes. But anyway, I went anyway. Where is your heart with God? Where are the things, and where is the Lord? What is the level that you have been able to, as the prayer we say at the end of communion services, be a living sacrifice for him? How much are we prepared to give that the world might know? And the extent to which it is scary is the extent to which we say, okay, God, what am I doing? But if we walk through the fear, you will find he is with you. Always. Amen.